This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Fox has it with 20 points tonight. Fox now passed to Wemby. Wemby rises. His shot's no good. Rebound Knicks. Game's over. Lucky 13 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
How you doing? How you feeling?
Feeling fantastic, baby. How could you not be feeling fantastic right now? Huh? I love the first thing I see. I open up the show today. Here we go. Get the laptop going.
Yep.
And there is a text message into the station last night at 10:43 p.m. 8 for 8, Dirt. 8 for 8. You're damn right.
That's
we're 8 for 8.
Right.
You're damn right we are.
Somebody.
Anybody suggesting otherwise.
Anybody could have said we were going to be 7 for 8 at any point in the evening last night.
Accusations. Declarations.
Maybe it was a reverse jinx. I don't know. You got to ask that person.
Hoping for an opposite outcome.
Maybe they allow their pessimistic nature to creep in hopes that it turns into an optimistic
I hope I announced everybody's name last night correctly at the Hops game, because we had there were three of us with phones going of that.
You had to work in the middle of that?
Oh, it's brutal.
I'm taking a day off. What are you doing?
I'm out.
I was going to
be in Italy for 2 weeks.
I thought the baseball game was going to end. We had a pitcher's duel. 2-1, walk off in the ninth, but it was a pitcher's. It was scoreless through like six innings. And then every time I looked up, Zach Zarba was over at the little microphone doing a review.
What are we reviewing now?
I was like,
now?
How long is this damn game taking?
What are we reviewing now?
That's
a flagrant. That's a flagrant. You get a flagrant.
When you go to exciting basketball games in person, there is a natural, like when I used to go to Blazer games as a media member, even though I'm not allowed to root, after you get through the locker room stuff and the post-game stuff, I would get home and it would be almost 11:15.
Yeah.
Your body's just vibing.
And I'd never be able to go to sleep until like, right, you know, 45 minutes to an hour later, because I just like coming down from the high of like watching a high-level game and then covering it and all
that. The noise, the excitement, the lights, everything that goes into it.
I caught that last night.
I did too.
I didn't go to bed until 10:40. I could not. I was just, I don't know, I was wide awake. I watched the ABC, ESPN stuff with the Inside and then SVP.
Right, different post-game stuff, all the celebrities talking, the videos that were coming out. Nobody wanted to leave the arena all
Nobody
night.
Did.
They were just standing in there for like an hour after
that
the game.
Had,
we're not going anywhere, dude.
That whole scene, that whole MSG scene took me back to 80s Lakers, like when they would go to the lake and they would pan through, and it was all the old, you know, the Jack Nicholsons and the Diane Cannons and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But it was celebrity after celebrity after celebrity after celebrity. And the Knicks rolled them all out.
Well, it was just really cool to watch. I think what's cool about it, because I think the Knicks fans are doing two things. They're making me want to root for them, and then also there is a percentage of them making me kind of hate them.
Was it the fan that drilled Wemby in the back of the head with an egg as he was walking into his hotel last night?
Or the, you know, the 50 of them that were randomly trying to fist fight and beat up all the Spurs fans after game three?
Yes. It's terrible fan behavior.
It is those ones, unfortunately. Yeah. But then you see like Ben Stiller and you see Chris Dudley at half court behind SVP. Trying to talk to literally anybody that
like who wants to say hi to me.
Is he
please?
Trying to run for governor in
this
New
is
York.
So
now?
Great.
It was kind of funny. He was dead center of the camera on SVP.
Anybody?
And you see all these black people dapping each other up. You see him on Shumpert, and there's Dudley. He's got his hands in his pockets, and I think he realized he was on TV talking to nobody, and so he walks over and he just starts laughing at like.
That's a great point.
I was a Nick as well.
He pulled the Pajemski with Steph, Draymond, and Clay.
Yes.
And walked over, just starts laughing mid-conversation. You don't even know what we're saying right now, Pajemski. Set this one out, dude.
I did the Leo GIF, the meme where I like lean from my couch and went,
failed politician, Oregon.
Chris Dudley. I got him right there. Can't make a free throw to save his life. I see him. He's on the floor. Remember when Shaq threw a ball at you?
But
or
it's,
opposite.
See,
you threw a ball at
Mitchell
Shaq.
Mitchell Robinson emotional support.
But, I mean, it's a special it's a special venue mixed with a special kind of why sports is awesome. Like, yeah, to watch not just the celebrities. There was a fair amount of people as well. They were not leaving that building.
No.
They were singing the New York by Frank Sinatra. Like, they were there for 35 to 40 minutes after the horn had sounded.
That is the best moment of almost all of their New York Knicks fandoms' lives. Unless you were alive.
I'm not remotely sure
the
it's
only
close.
Ones, the only ones are the ones if you remember the 74 championship. That's it. Outside of that, that's the crowning moment.
If you were there for Willis Reed.
Willis Reed,
seeing him come out with a busted leg.
Old enough to remember that and watch that and you were in the arena. Like, this is the, like,
outside of that,
nothing
for
else
fans,
comes close to this. Nothing else.
Well, I'm going to ask you this today because I think there's a lot of angles to it. It's not just the collapse mixed with the comeback, right?
I mean, it's an all-time moment in the NBA Finals that we will remember forever.
Well, it's an all-time sports moment. It's not limited to the basketball. It's legitimately, what's the best? They need to win the championship, first of all. That's the unfortunate nature of this thing. Is the Giants can have the greatest, one of the greatest upsets in Super Bowl history, beating an undefeated team. But once they do that, I mean, it's done. It's not a best of three. The Patriots don't get to respond. So I don't know if the Spurs come back and they have a LeBron-Cavs 3-1 comeback here. Maybe they do. If they go back to New York with Game 6 elimination game, boy, you want to talk about sphincter pressure.
Oh, God.
For both sides. But yes. New York will be like, we have to win tonight. If they win it, the conversation of where that ranks in greatest New York sports history will legitimately be in the running.
Yeah.
And you can say football is king. That's a Knicks town. And I'm not saying they don't care about the Giants. I know they do. I understand that. But the Knicks are a little different. I feel like it's Yankees, Knicks, Giants. And maybe I'm speaking out of pocket as a guy who doesn't live in New York. But that's kind of the order of operation there. I don't know what it is. I don't know how we're ranking things. But if they win the title, is that the best New York sports moment, or is it always going to be and cannot be the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants beating the Patriots will always be up there because of the shocking element of it and the way that they won the game, like the Tyree helmet catch. Where do you put all the Jeter moments, too? Like, where do you put World Series moments from the Yankees?
What did they have comeback-wise in those? They always, I mean,
yeah, I don't remember a lot of comebacks, but there's a lot of iconic moments from Derek Jeter.
No, I know.
Like the flip of the play in Oakland.
Is an iconic moment by an athlete really going to beat an entire team comeback? I don't think it does.
Baseball, it would be the 86 Mets because the Red Sox had him done till Bill Buckner could.
Or Mr. October and Reggie Jackson hitting four home runs in a World Series game.
It was three.
Or three. My apologies.
Well, what was the score when he hit him? That's
I don't know. You're asking me for iconic New York moments. There's a lot of them. I don't know if that takes the cake, but it's
Messier,
definitely in the mix.
And then the 94 Rangers because they had been since 1940.
Rangers. You and these Rangers.
It had been a long time. It was very similar to the Knicks. They hadn't won a cup in 50 years.
It was 54 years.
Yeah, and they won one at Madison Square Garden. It was a very big deal when they won a Stanley Cup.
The Knicks, though, are all inclusive because even though you can talk about the Giants, there's hardcore Jets fans.
Yeah, there's a split of the other teams.
A split.
And nobody's ever cared about the Nets because they've largely been in New Jersey.
Well, they were in New Jersey for a while. So
it's been it's a Knicks town. It is the unique, like,
Yankees and Mets are split.
There's Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, like, Rangers.
There
Islanders,
are the Islanders, but the Rangers are pretty.
No, I get it.
Oh, it's not even close. It's a Rangers town.
Yeah. That's
Long Island is very Long Island.
That's a thing. And so Long Island, they cling to the Islanders because that's their own.
Yeah.
They can't afford to go to the Rangers games. That's why they cling to them.
That's all they got in Long Island. So they cling to it like life.
Yeah, in that 94 finals, same thing. The Rangers went up 3-1, but they lost 5-6. And they had to come home and win it in Game 7.
See, that's a pretty special thing.
And so, and then you also had, they almost lost to the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mark Messier made the Game 7 guarantee and then scored the game winner.
He's on ESPN wearing a Game 7 hat to this day. He's Mr. Game 7 himself. I was also just like adding on top of that, trying to think of like, where will that moment go down? And the series ending will obviously dictate some of it, right? Like if the Knicks go on to lose the series and become the second team to blow a 3-1 series lead in the NBA Finals in the history of the Finals.
It
will be remembered as one of the most heartbreaking moments of all time.
That'll be like the Red Sox blowing it to...
Yeah, like you won the craziest comeback in the history of the NBA Finals. You're a win away from winning the entire thing, and you let that slip through your fingers.
Right.
That's all-time heartbreak that is hard to... comprehend.
That's Scott Norwood stuff.
Like that to me, I mean, it's up there when you think about, you know, the LeBron block, you think about obviously the Jordan shot in 1998, and some of the ratings, by the way, we're getting in these finals are the highest we've seen since 1998, which is remarkable.
I called it, huh?
To tell you how big the series has been.
What did we get? I didn't see the numbers for one of the games that you mentioned.
It was Game 3. So Game 1 and Game 2 each had about just north of average 16 million.
Yeah, they peaked at almost 20.
Game 3, where the hell did it go? 23.8, which is the most watched Game 3 of the NBA Finals since 1998.
Yeah, that's higher than the 2016, because 2016 peaked on Game 7, obviously.
Game 7 number was huge.
Yeah.
They peaked in the Game 3 at 26.3 million viewers for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And so that's a massive jump. I think it's just the MSG, the Trumpy in there. Like, it was just such a scene that everybody was
winning. I'll be interested to see what this Game 4 number is, because I wonder how many
there's going to be a peak and valley of the number, because I think a lot of people turn the game off. That first half
is
one of the worst halves of basketball I've seen in a long time.
I was at my brother-in-law's. I watched the first quarter. I get to my brother-in-law's, the second quarter starting, and we're watching, and I'm just like, dude, this is... it's one thing to lose. This is embarrassing. You're almost down 30.
Embarrassing for everybody. I thought the way the game was officiated was embarrassing. The flagrants, the whistles,
the start of the whole
all
game.
All of it sucked.
So I head home. Halftime's about ending. I put it on my YouTube TV on my phone so I can hear it as I live less than a mile away from these people. So I have it on my phone and I'm hearing it. And when I get home, I look down on the score and I think it was, I want to say it was like 81-59 or something. And I'm like, that's when I text you guys. Well, 7 out of 8. There was no sign of life. There was going to be a game at all. And I'm like, all right, well, there's only so much. Like, is this team really going to collapse to that point? Then it gets to 29, and then they start wheeling away. And when they got it, I will say, I kept it on. When they got it to 12, I was like, that's a big little comeback there to get it to 12. And Brunson said it on Inside the NBA. They said, when did you, because they basically admitted that he had some negative, like, my God, we're getting killed. We lost this game.
How do you not have that feeling?
He goes, but you got to bring yourself back, and you got to say, well, all we can do is whittle away and play, right? He says he told his dad in the huddle, they call the timeout, the Knicks cut it to 12, and he turned and told his dad, Rick Brunson, Blazer legend, we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
Because 12 for them, 12 in the NBA now is nothing.
No. They've already done that twice in the NBA Finals. They were down by 12 in Game 1 and Game 2 and 1.
Yes, that is four possessions if you play it right. Like, there
stop,
you go.
Hit a three, get
boom.
A steal,
stop,
break
hit a three.
Away, hit another three. And
so
now,
for them, 12 was like, oh my God, we're within striking distance here. And they certainly, we'll get into all of it, but they needed some stuff to go their way, and they got it, but... That was kind of the turn point, I think, for some of the guys on their own team is like, holy crap, it's only 12 now?
When they hit the three to make it, I want to say 81-59, somewhere in that range. They went on like a 7-0 run.
Yes.
Made it 81-59. They showed Taylor Swift jumping up and down on the sideline. Diehard, lifelong Knicks fan, that Taylor Swift.
Wasn't she at a cab game?
I jumped on DraftKings and I live betted. And I just wish I had bigger balls. I'm like, dude, what the hell? There's a little mojo. The crowd hasn't given up yet. I put like $3 on it, 130. I had a buddy text me saying I had a few beers after work and live bet $10 on Knicks at halftime just because I had a few too many beers after
work. I think it was 1,800 to 1
it was good.
At halftime.
It was a juicy little payout there. Juicy little payout watching the end of that game, man. It's funny, though, because you get these comebacks and the end of it is always going to be so memorable. Like, everybody made the same equivalent last night of Pat's 28-3 in the Super Bowl. And they're so similar in terms of the first part of the game was almost unwatchable.
It was a bloodbath.
To go from that moment of like, this is, I went outside with the kid in like the late second quarter, like, let's go outside, have a popsicle, dude. I'm going to go water some stuff. I'm not sitting in the house watching this.
I don't blame you.
The sun came out.
It was nice.
They're down by 27 points. You're going to bed in 45 minutes. Let's get a little more vitamin D in our life. And then you're slowly like walking around the house. And I just did the keep it on, glance at the television every handful of minutes. And every time you glance, it's, okay, we're down to 21. Ooh, we're down to 17. And they said coming out of halftime, they wanted to get it down to 17 at the end of the third quarter. And I think they were down by 15 at the end of the third quarter.
Yep.
So they checked that box, and then the rest was history, man. What a night.
A lot to get into. Because at different points, you think it goes from being, oh, it's over, this game sucks, there's no chance, to, okay, nice little comeback.
Thanks for making it respectable. Yeah. Not rolling
Kept
over.
Kept me around. Could have checked the 8-for-8 box because you made it entertaining.
And then I think it got down to 7 after a 3 once, and you're like, oh, my God, there's like 3 minutes left. This is nothing.
There's a lot of time left.
I don't know where everybody was at different points of this comeback. The video is circulated. It's become a very viral moment. So Larry David was sitting courtside next to John McEnroe.
Yeah.
And the Josh Hart steal missed back rim play.
Just smoked the bunny.
He is filmed literally collapsing but holding himself up on two people as if he is being Larry from Larry David, the Curb Your Enthusiasm show. Because that's the reaction everybody. When he misses that, we're all thinking,
oh, my God.
They're not going to do it.
It's just not
in the cards to make the full comeback. When you miss that shot. And you miss jump.
It was such a weird layup, too. Because he thought he was going to dunk it, and he realized he couldn't. I think he felt
Castle chasing him.
Castle was chasing him.
I think he jumped too far. And he wanted to dunk it,
but then
he felt it, and he took off too far, and I have two hands. What am I doing?
Two hands on a layup, trying to drop it into the hoop.
And then I thought about, you know, it sucks because he is a huge fan favorite in New York.
One, he's
super hot. Two, he does everything. You don't want
that guy to wear that collar.
No, but it reminded me of, God, what year was it when Ewing hit back rim?
Yeah.
Oh.
95 or 99?
Yeah, it's one of those
where
Ewing famously
conference
had
finals, right, against the Pacers?
Against the Pacers. Yeah. I think it was the 30 for 30 where he had
caught
the lane.
It at the free throw line, ducked through. Got past the Duncan Dutchman and little
back
floater bonk.
And I was like, oh, my God, it'd be so Knicks for them to lose on the guy hitting the back rim again in the big stage moment.
There is not a luckier man alive than Josh Hart today.
Agree 100%.
That moment will be forgotten a week from now. Especially if they win the championship.
I think he had a shout out to OG in his post-game.
He had to.
If they lose that game.
That's the play.
And if they go on to lose the finals, that's the play that we, I don't know, for the entire series, but.
It's 2 minutes left. Even if they lose that game.
Right.
Even with all that amount of time, we're still going to go back and be like, imagine the momentum if he makes it. It's 105-104.
Think about where we're at.
But then Wemby turned around and bricked 2 free throws, and you're like,
yeah. When he did that, I was like, oh.
They're going to find a way.
He does bleed his own blood after all. How about that?
How about Steph Castle's free throws? Balls. That kid.
Dude.
Onions! My nephew asked, who would you take, Castle or Harper? And I was like, first of all, this is an awful question.
How dare you?
Yeah.
The Spurs answer will be both. And De'Aaron Fox, have fun on whatever team you're playing on next year.
What's left on his contract?
Who needs a point guard next year? Anybody looking for a point guard in the market?
I think he signed a 4-year, $200 million
deal. I think he did.
Like
he's got an extension.
Ago.
They're definitely trading him this summer.
Harper was better than him yesterday.
Harper should be their starting point
guard.
He signed a
4-year, $229 million extension with San Antonio. It's going to run through 29-30.
Yeah. Well,
somebody will trade for that.
Well, I mean, they might still win the finals, and then you just run it back if you're not in a tax problem.
They could. You never know.
But I said Harper, when he hit those free throws, Castle, I was like, dude, this
damn
kid,
it.
Ice in the veins.
Guy's
man.
Got stones.
He
I would still take
the
Harper over him.
One.
He did.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Not close.
Yeah, it was. Seeing some of the guys rise in moments is always fun in crazy games like that. I do find myself, as the series goes on, just the hatred for Wembanyama's growing. Game by game.
Yeah.
And it's not even just the on-the-floor stuff. Did you see the stuff from him after game 3? He's got, and I don't know, maybe I got catfished on this, or AI'd or butt-cracked or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was a report after game 3, and this is way too J.J. McCarthy, where he was walking around the arena without shoes on to feel the energy of the concrete from their win.
Who? Where did you see that?
On social media.
Oh, well.
Okay. He was walking around the corridors of MSG, like to, from the locker room to the team bus, and he didn't want to put his shoes on so he could feel the energy from the floor.
I actually believe it would be real, but
I mean, it seems very Wemby. It seems very Wemby, yeah. And I read that, and I just thought that's way too J.J.
McCarthy.
Stuff
like that makes you hate athletes?
Yes, that's Jason Tatum texting dead Kobe Bryant's cell phone before games.
Really?
And then talking about it as if it gives you an extra motivation. Or
yeah, Ramona Shelburne, yeah. A staffer told her that he was walking barefoot through the hallways of Madison Square Garden after games.
That's cringy.
To really feel the ground. And connect.
I want you to ask yourself this. Ask yourself this. We all know he's an elite talent and will be dominant in the league for a long time. Put that quote in the voice of another athlete, and how do you respond to it?
Dylan Brooks reportedly walked barefoot through the hallways of Madison Square Garden after games to really feel
the hatred of Knicks fans. We would all make fun of him for that. If J.J. McCarthy said that, we would do an hour of our show making fun of J.J. McCarthy.
According to the report, a staffer for the Spurs has to carry the size 21 slides Wemby likes to be in.
Poor bastard, got to carry his dirty shoes
to change his mind.
He's got a shoe guy following him everywhere. Screw this French bastard, dude.
Oh, dude, I would love to be his shoe guy.
You want
to
be a shoe guy?
What? Remember, unfortunately,
how big do his shoes look? Like, if I'm just holding his shoe,
size 21s.
I mean, size is that like 21s. The size of my foot?
That's
like,
almost double my shoe that I'm wearing
like,
right now.
Fingertip to elbow.
When he tells me to order three, here? I'm ordering four, and one of those is ending up on eBay.
So here's a 12. Dude, this is a size 12.
Now you're Otani's translator. You're
damn
locked
straight
up, Swigart.
What do you think a 21 is?
Oh, Jesus. What is that, a 12?
A 12.
Yeah. That's big.
That's real big.
That's real big.
That's real big.
Bigger
size
me.
Size 21. That's crazy.
Bigger me.
But I was going to say is like, do you remember when Diddy wasn't problematic?
he
had a guy, and I forget the, I think his guy's name was Alfonso. I think.
He was like his cleanup guy, basically.
He was his umbrella guy. Do you remember
this
guy?
Oh, I do remember that,
and
yeah.
He actually became a celebrity.
He did. He would dance, and he would do, yeah, he was in music videos.
He literally,
and,
like, was the guy that opened the door for Diddy in the Phantom Rolls Royce, and he would pop the umbrella open for Diddy.
Yeah, I do remember that guy.
And he'd be his umbrella guy.
Yeah.
I would love to be Wemby's shoe guy. What are you? I just hold Victor Wembanyama's slides and follow him in case he's not feeling the vibes of the ground. What does that pay? About $180,000 a year.
It's a good gig if you can get it, dude. It's a good gig. I guarantee you his slides are clean, too.
Oh, you know.
He seems like he's into cleanliness.
Very
much. Those are not going to be stinky shoes.
I have him as like a military. If you went into his house or apartment,
yeah,
there's no wrinkles in the bed.
Nothing out of place.
The toothbrush is placed exactly perfect.
You know what some people call those folks? Serial killers.
Yeah, there's that. Well, obviously, we're off to a fun little start here. A crazy sequence of events. We're going to dive into all of it. I'm going to talk a lot about that game. That was just nuts. It's an all-time game.
All-time game in the NBA Finals.
Let's get it going on a Magic Hat Thursday. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan. Well, many will look back in the history of things if the New York Knicks end up winning the title. And Wu-Tang was already goated in the city of New York, but they might have reached another level not even possible because many point to them. They were the halftime show.
They sparked the comeback.
They.
Down by 30 at halftime, who comes to the rescue?
Wu-Tang forever.
They ain't nothing to mess with.
Unbelievable, man.
It's funny how you had the Game 3 visitor and now the Game 4 visitor and the different opinion of those two entities in the city and the way the fan base feels about them. And one will forever continue to be a legend in that market.
Wait, who's the Game 4 visitor?
The Game 3 visitor was the president of the United States, who was blamed by some Knicks fans for being the bad juju and gave him a loss.
If this ends up being the only loss,
you get Wu-Tang
Clan.
And now as people are already joking. Imagine he announces he's attending Game 6 if they lose Game 5 and the feeling amongst Knicks fans if
that motorcade's getting stuck somewhere on a bridge. Exactly.
I'll be honest with
people you. Will be outraged if that happens.
Jimmy Dolan might get thrown off the Brooklyn Bridge if he allows
that was the only
the
part
to happen again.
That was the only part about yesterday because I'm rooting like hell for the Knicks to win. I want the Knicks to win the championship. I can't stand the Spurs. I'm anti-Wemby. He's weird and he's French. You know, I just get out of here with all the luck that they've gotten in the lottery the last couple of years. Mm. The Dolan stuff on WFAN yesterday, did you see his media hit? So he goes
on a Carton show, right?
A Carton show on WFAN in New York. And he, you know, he talked about the president, whatever. I don't really care that much about that. It was mainly about him coming out and basically he guaranteed that they were going to win the NBA Finals on WFAN yesterday, which Do
you like that approach if you're an owner?
Not if that's your owner. If Mark Cuban's your owner, I love it. And you have a guy who's good at his job, who's been consistently good, who's brash and has done stuff like that. It comes with the territory. I want nothing to do with you messing with the sports gods, whether they exist or don't exist.
I don't know. Come on.
I want nothing out in the universe. I don't want energy. I don't want any of that stuff.
So I had a moment where I'm watching them come back, and I can't remember if it was three or four they ended up cutting the deficit to. Maybe it's five. But it was in the midst of that comeback. It's late fourth quarter. They showed him baseline, and the Spurs turned the ball over because they had more turnovers in the second half than they did made field goals.
Yeah, they did that on about every possession.
And they showed James Dolan sitting in his normal courtside seat, and his arms are folded. And there's zero emotion. And I just thought, why are the worst human beings born with money?
Right.
Like, let me be that.
You in that moment as the owner of the New York Knicks and you got to steal like
I'm
game.
Standing up.
The
I'm
entire
going crazy.
Arena is exploding.
Yes. I'm going up the 100 section or whatever they call
high-fiving
the lower level.
Everybody.
I'm high-fiving people. Yeah.
You
We're
want a little more
nuts.
Steve Ballmer.
I want Ballmer Cuban. If I'm a sports owner, I'm wrapped up. I'm a Blazer owner. Dude, yes.
Yeah, you're living and dying with it.
I don't
game.
Know how, as an owner, you just sit there or even just do the old white boring person clap as you stand up. But you don't. Like, I don't know how you're not emotionally charged by what
At
that building is
At least give me an
you.
Awkward missing high five with the person next to you.
An old guy, white guy.
Old white guy high five.
All time great.
He goes in for the fist pump. He goes in for the high five. You do a docking
situation. Now you're docking each other.
That's not good.
Dude, all time great sports moment has an absolute all time messed up high five moment. Tiger Woods chip on 16.
Yes.
It's an all time moment. And him and Stevie like, what are we doing here?
Doing? Grab a hand, shake it. I don't know.
But we look past it.
Gyrate on the green.
Because the logo showed, and then the ball dropped, and I don't care about the missed high five. How does he sit there, arms crossed, team coming back from 29, another turnover, and you just have no emotional reaction? It's crazy to me. You're not a human being.
No. It wasn't even necessarily about the guarantee of the win. It was mainly just like, why are we ruffling feathers with politicians and doing radio hits? Like, he was calling out all this stuff about the fans in front of the arena. That wasn't approved because the city didn't want him to do it, because it had nothing to do with the president being here, and then the city said that's not true.
That's absolutely not true.
Why are we doing this before game four of the NBA Finals? Like, we have waited. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm just screaming
You've
seeing
waited
that.
Your whole life
We've
for
waited
it.
For our whole life for this. Yeah. And our owner is on the biggest radio station, you know, sports radio station in the country.
In the country.
With a million people in New York City listening to this right now, just taking a dump on everything. Like, just can we not have you do the dumb thing for one? You've gotten out of your own way and finally found a way to put a winning team together for the first time in your tenure as an owner. Can you not ruin this moment as well?
I'm with you on that.
Like, just go in the background and shut up. Even if they win, Knicks fans still load that guy.
Yeah.
You don't overlook 30 years of ineptitude because you finally got lucky and a rabbit fell out of your butt.
You know what, though?
I'll see you at the parade.
That's all that ultimately matters. I'm with you largely. Did you see the guy? I know you would hate this. Probably because you said something negative about an athlete that did something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Kyrie came back to Boston as a Net
the first time? I do remember
that. Remember what
he did? He lit the sage on the logo.
He walked on this, with the sage on the court, and we laughed. Did you see there was a Knick fan all by himself yesterday? He went up at like 11 a.m., and he just had sage, and he was doing like an up and down motion with sage. And
going
like,
around outside Madison Square Garden.
Outside, right on the steps of Madison Square
Legs
Garden.
Legs has done that on the Child Center floor.
Trying
to end a losing streak.
Wait, who did it?
Legs. Shante Leggins.
Had
I've
some sage?
Seen him do it.
The
yes.
sage will help.
Ow,
the sage will set you free. That's
Get
what they
the
say.
Get the evil demons out of here, huh?
I just love the idea of what – it just shows how psychotic we are. Of the lengths we're willing to go.
But it's something that's fun.
It's so fun,
Let
dude.
Us be
I love
psychos.
It. I love it. I love everything about it.
All
I
we
hope
have.
If we ever get an NBA Finals game and we're up 2-1 in the finals, mark my words, I will go to the Moda Center after the show that day or whatever we're calling the arena at that point and sage the steps. I'll sage the walls.
Would you care? So I was thinking about this because I saw this morning. I got up early and I just put on WFAN. It's like, I got to listen to it. And so I was listening to the morning show on WFAN, and they played this audio. So if we ever, please, sports gods.
Oh, yeah.
If we ever got the Blazers back
in
the finals.
Yeah, we just come straight here with the champagne, the three of us.
No, and I think you can kiss my ass. I'm at the arena. I'm not coming back here and working. That's not at all where I was going. You can come back and be a little rat if you want. But if somebody had to do a live show while watching, I don't know if we'd pick anybody else other than Danny. Now, Danny would argue, I should be at the gym. He's there all the time. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But also, you got to think about the on-air stuff. Is anybody loudly more emotional on the radio in the midst of that kind of comeback if it's the Blazers?
Probably not.
I think we're doing it, but like we're not doing it to the level of Danny. So I have found the New York Danny Meringue, who was live on WFAN last night. Ooh, I don't know why this guy's doing this. They're doing an overnight show still in the midst of the game, and he's basically doing live radio show play-by-play, which we've had to do occasionally.
Yes. Not fun, not easy.
And here he is, the host of their overnight show, giving live thoughts as the Knicks complete the comeback.
Let's go! Let's go! All heart! All heart! Pandemonium at the Garden! This is a team of destiny. 53 years. 53. That's a long time to wait. A lifetime for some. Yours truly included. The wait is over. It's a wrap. Knicks in 5. I'll see you at the parade. The wait is over. I'll see you at the parade.
Everybody in New York try to sound like Mad Dog Russo.
Yeah, you got to go that way.
Yes,
you
I thought it was Mad Dog.
It was Mad Dog.
Doggy, you don't know what you're talking about.
Would anybody on the fans say
it's a rock
more than Danny Meringue?
No. I wouldn't have the balls to do that again. The gods are watching.
I'll see you at the parade.
I'm not doing
That's
it, dude.
That's crazy.
They have been down.
They better have a parade now.
They have been down by double digits in game 1, double digits in game 2, and 30 points in game 4.
Yeah.
This very easily could have been a San Antonio sweep.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
you can make that case.
We're like a 6 degrees of separation away from the Spurs hoisting the title last night and planning their parade in front of the Alamo.
So there's a lot of stats.
Like, I'm not going there yet.
I believe I have this correct. Because I should have screenshot my television because they kept showing all these great stats. So aside from the comeback element of this, this is either the first or second NBA Finals ever that has had multiple games decided by 1 point.
That's pretty wild.
We've never seen a finals this close.
It's the second. I got
second.
Hear.
Thank you.
What was the other one?
The 75 Warriors Bullets series.
Remember it like it was
nobody.
Yesterday.
Nobody cares. I'm sorry. Nobody cares about 75.
Third NBA Finals since 71. The first 4 games were all one possession games in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's right now. It's on track. If this goes a little longer, it seems like it's on track to being one of the best finals ever.
Yeah, and we got a lot of time to talk about the game today and what the win meant and the legacy on the line for the players. Now Wemby's a choker. I love that we're just pivoting from this guy's God's gift to basketball.
I do have one complaint.
Does he have the clutch gene? I don't know. Does he have the clutch gene? I'm not sure.
I did have a takeaway complaint about Wemby, and it's not Wemby's fault, but there's a thing about Wemby that it's really kind of bothering me as a basketball
fan.
Okay.
I will give you a hot take as of 6:38 this morning. You ready for this one? I would be shocked, and I will use the word shocked. Probably shouldn't, but I'm going to use the word shocked. I'm going to be shocked if we don't go 7 games in this series.
Oh.
I would go.
The Knicks are not a trustworthy team. They find a way.
Are the Spurs?
No.
They're down 3-1.
Not at all. But they've shown the ability to win games every time they've stepped on the floor in this series.
They've only won one, so there's no games they've won. They've only won one game.
That's fine. I'm going to be shocked if it doesn't go 7.
I like the take.
They're going to, I guarantee
I'll back it up one
Where's
game.
Where's my Charles Barkley? Oh. Guarantee!
I would be.
They will win game 5. They will win game 5.
I would be more stunned if they're not back in New York for game 6 would be my take.
Yes, yeah, Spurs are 5.5-point favorites. They're minus 198 on the money line.
They're not losing game 5. They're not losing game 5. It's not happening. I'm not even trying for a reverse jinx. They're not losing game 5.
I just wanted to leave it out there so he could pull that cut so we could play that if the Knicks wrap this up in five.
Plan the parade.
Spurs are not losing game five.
They're not losing game five. don't prove me wrong, Wemby.
God, game six at the Garden with a closeout opportunity.
Do we remember? And I know that
the whole arena would not leave.
The pucker factor at the start of each of the last two games for them, and now all of a sudden it's a chance to clinch the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but it's also an elimination game for the Spurs. There's pressure for both there.
If the Knicks can have a first quarter where they shoot the ball.
Don't turn it over.
Barkley asked Brunson that. Why do you guys suck at the beginning of games? He's like, I wish I knew, man.
Have a guy in the starting lineup commit two fouls in 14 seconds at the start of each of the last two games, too?
Can we not call both those fouls?
That overturn thing.
The first foul? No.
Yeah.
No, not in this series.
Not a foul.
No. You can't call that.
Not a foul.
What are you doing?
A little bump below the waist.
Come on.
Get out of here.
They've let that go all series, and now we're stepping in.
All of a sudden, we're going to dictate. We're going to start blowing the whistle heavy tonight. Get out of here.
And then the offensive foul? Did he have him hooked at the very beginning? Sure, but then his arm clearly detaches, and Wemby tries to hold it.
Wemby was grabbing him the entire drive.
They changed the entire first half with that. I'm not saying the Spurs don't go up double digits. It's just
the whole feeling of the first quarter changed on a dime.
They played a guy that somebody was like, "Who is that?" And I was like, "I don't know what his name is."
Yeah,
and I think they said he played like 70 minutes all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd never
heard
of that
guy. They played Jeremy Sochan.
They did. He dapped up Wemby after he blocked his shot. It's like, I'm getting a ring either way.
He also shot at the end of a shot clock and missed everything. And I went, that's why he got released.
Yeah, when you're playing guys that I've never heard of before in the NBA Finals, you got a bit of an issue on your hands.
Mike Brown was in his bag a little bit. That Alvarado decision at the end of the game is not an easy one.
He was searching the entire first half.
Almost committed an over and back on the most important possession of the game.
He's lucky they took the go-ahead foul.
Who fouled him?
It wasn't over and back.
Who fouled him there?
What?
No, it wasn't, but he almost did.
The ball stayed in the back court.
The ball was going foul though before.
The ball was going nowhere. He was about to get double teamed at half court. Who fouled him?
Fox.
Oh, that's right.
Well, the coaching staff told
him.
They told him to take the foul.
They had a foul to give. I don't know.
5 seconds left in the game.
Yeah,
you got to set your defense.
Yeah,
I think the defense was set. He was going nowhere.
I got a hotter take. I'm more upset by the set defense than I am the take foul.
Yeah, they're both pretty bad.
We'll get into that. But let's continue on. NBA Finals, Game 4, absolute insanity at Madison Square Garden. 29-point comeback. More on that next on The Fan. All right, loaded second hour of the radio program. We will get on from Game 4 dealings eventually. But when you're handed something so crazy and fun, you got to run with it. I mean, I text you guys almost instantly. That was 28-3 stuff. That really was.
One of the biggest and greatest collapses and comebacks we will ever see in the history of sports.
It is the biggest comeback, obviously, in NBA Finals history. It tops the 24 comeback that the Celtics had against the Lakers in 08, and it's the largest halftime deficit comeback in playoff history.
Biggest drop-off from points in a first half to a second half for a team. What was it, 76-30, I think, for the Spurs?
46-point drop-off.
They had more points. They scored 35 in the second quarter, and they had 30 in the second half.
The second half. More turnovers than made field goals in the second half.
What?
And they had two in the entire first half.
It's always the answer when you look at, you know, the comeback. Is it a comeback or is it a collapse? It's always equal parts. You need one team to be stupid and make a lot of mistakes and take their foot off the gas and the eye off the prize or whatever cliche you want to use. And you need the other team to not quit, not give up. And you're just not going to get that in the NBA Finals. I don't think you're going to get a team that packs it in, and especially this Knicks team that's come back a bunch. You gave them a little bit of life. All the things got tight and you stopped playing. Next thing you know, you look up and you're in a ball game.
Because of your point there on it's the NBA Finals, you don't stop. Famously, in that 08 Finals, when Boston went up 20 or more, I can't remember what the deficit was, but I was watching Game 6 in Boston with my buddy who's a Laker fan. And it was maybe I think it was early third. And I turned to him and I go, Kobe's quit. Like, I watched the series. I had eyeballs for all the Kobe's the GOAT, Kobe's better than Braun. I watched Kobe Bryant quit in the NBA Finals. That happened. You don't see it often. Sometimes teams can just get you. You're not wrong to point that out, but I would respond with, what's the deficit where we don't say it's an even split? Because I don't know if people truly, as remarkable the comeback was, I don't know if we can say that's an even split. 29-point, we'd never seen that before. 29 points and being up 20 in the second half. The Knicks hit the shots. They got the tip. They made the turnovers, all that. But I kind of more align with Barkley. That's one of the dumber teams we've ever seen play in a second half in basketball history. You have to be utterly stupid to lose a lead like that.
You absolutely do. You can go 60-40s, 55-45, whatever you want to break it up. You got to have both sides of it, though. Like, the Knicks can't stop playing, and they're not going to come back from down 30 points.
Yes.
And if the Spurs do smart things in the second half, you don't even have to score a ton of points, or you don't even have to play great basketball. You just got to not jack up early threes. You got to not turn the ball over and create easy, quick scoring opportunities the other direction. Like, those things lead directly to a team blowing lead. So if you want to get more of the edge to San Antonio, that's fine for blowing the lead. I'm totally fine with that. It will go down in history as one of the most memorable, you could say championship games, you could say NBA Finals games. That's one that will linger with us, I think, for a very long time because of the team, the moment, the shot, the OG tip-in, everything that transpired, the crowd scene afterwards, the stadium that you're playing in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one 15 years from now that we'll remember vividly. God, remember when the Knicks did that against the Spurs and came back and won that game?
We got a little bit of audio to play. I want to get to some of the post-game and the calls themselves. Here is the final call on the New York Knicks radio.
Bridges on Vassell, Hart on Castle, Robinson on Wembanyama, pass toward the middle, caught by Castle, dropped by Castle, his shot is blocked by Hart, and the New York Knicks just pulled off the biggest comeback win in NBA Finals history. From down 29, they take a 3-1 series lead, stunning the Spurs, 107-106.
Here's Mark Kestisher, ESPN Radio, on the OG Anunoby tip-in.
Knicks were down as many as 29. Anunoby gets it into Brunson. Brunson pulls a quick three. Off the front rim, no. Tip it, good! For the lead with 1.2 seconds to go. OG Anunoby flying out of nowhere. And this place is rocking at the Garden.
And then the other side of that is the Spurs lose in heartbreaking fashion. Here is Dan Weiss, Spurs radio.
Harper. Get the ball here from Courtney Kirkland. Looking, spotting. Oh, he's looking for Castle. Castle has it. He threw it up. He didn't get it off in time. And the Knicks win. The New York Knicks, down 27 at the half, come back and beat the Spurs 107-106 to take a 3-1 lead in this NBA final.
Should be noted, he probably couldn't see it from his vantage point up in the rafters, but Karl-Anthony Towns tipped that inbounds pass.
And if he doesn't tip it, it's a hell of a look
it's
for Castle.
It's a clean layup
hell
look for Castle.
Look. I don't know if anybody
used Wemby as a decoy.
Which was a really smart move in that. I did have a chuckle last night watching another incredible game for OG Anunoby. He obviously is going to be the iconic moment from the game, the tip-in. And just a moment of quick chuckle to myself watching the end of that, thinking we didn't think Scoot and Shaden was worth that.
Yeah, and had the block on Fox.
You always get this wrong.
It's not wrong. We had two first-round picks. We could have traded him for OG Anunoby. Those two first-round picks turned out to be Scoot and Shaden. We thought the value of those two picks was more important than that.
What if they're both not on the roster?
Pretty decent chance that happens. Guy was 10 of 15, 7 of 9 from 3,
dude,
33 points. The game, like, without
he got
him,
the block, by the way.
Yes.
It was the block, and then immediately followed with the tip.
Yes. Also one of the only guys to make a shot from, it felt like, in the first quarter of the game.
Oh, it was him and
it
Brunson.
Was just him. It was
69
else.
Points of their 107 were from two players.
Two guys.
They had to go to Mitchell Robinson for like 35 minutes.
This is why when you have an unknown commodity versus a known commodity, sometimes it's better to gamble on the known commodity.
He's kind of psychotic, too. Did you catch any of his post-game?
I saw some of his stuff
OG?
With SVP.
Yeah. So Lisa Salters and SVP both spoke to him. He just, like, you would have never thought his even won the game.
Yeah.
OG, you won. Yeah, we didn't quit. Knicks fans, great. What'd you do there? I tipped the ball in. All right, thank you, OG. Congratulations.
I love the mentality. What did Kobe say when they took a 3-1 series lead? Why aren't you celebrating? What are we celebrating?
Series over?
Series ain't over
yet.
Yeah,
they were doing that to Brunson, and you could tell it was kind of bothering him. He's not going to say anything to, like, Shaq and all them, but Draymond is like, I want to apologize right now. and after you get that ring, I'm apologize again. I'm like, just like, dude, I would not want to hear that.
Shut up. What are you doing?
You literally blew a 3-1 lead.
Yes.
Shut up.
You're the only team in the history of the NBA to blow a 3-1 series lead.
For now.
For now.
Loaded second hour. A problem with how Victor Wembanyama is talked about. I want to address that. And one big problem I had at the very end of this game. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.